As we begin our time around the Lord's table today, I want to ask the following question. Do you understand God's design for redemption? Do you understand God's design for redemption? Be thinking about that as you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. This is the thickest, most condensed explanation of God's design for salvation in the New Testament. Follow along with me as I read Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. The primary message that Paul is communicating here is this. We have redemption. We have redemption. Redemption is the freeing from captivity by the payment of a ransom. And Scripture tells us that prior to conversion, a sinner is dead in their transgressions and sins. They're by nature a child of wrath. They're an enemy of God, and they're held captive by Satan to do his will. Then redemption is the rescue. It's the rescue of a person away from that bondage and into a relationship with a holy God. Let's make four observations from our passage before us. First of all, redemption has a specific target. A specific target. Paul writes, we have redemption. So who is the we that Paul is referring to? At the beginning of the letter in verse 1, Paul writes to the saints who are in Ephesus. But being redeemed is not a property or a characteristic of everybody in Ephesus, and it's not even everybody who goes to church in Ephesus. At the end of verse 1, we see who it really is. We see that it refers to those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's those whose ongoing testimony of their life demonstrated that they have trusted Christ for their salvation, and as a part of that trust, they have submitted themselves to Christ's lordship in their life. Back in verse 7, we see that redemption has a specific means. Redemption is accomplished exclusively through his blood. In verse 7, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. God has a holy judgment against sinful man, and that judgment is death. Jesus shed his blood, and he died that death. He died that death in place of everyone who had placed their trust in him. There's no other means, there's no other way, there's no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. It's Jesus and his blood only. Redemption can't be accomplished through good works or good intentions or good family heritage or anything else. It comes through one and only one currency, and that currency is the blood of Jesus Christ. The next thing we see in this verse is that redemption has a specific objective. And that objective in the middle of the verse is the forgiveness of our transgressions. The forgiveness of transgressions. And the Greek word there for transgression is a deviation or a departure from righteousness. And this is something that was in all of us. It was in us the day we were born. And as we grew older and have grown older, we become more and more capable of demonstrating what has been in us since the day we were born. God's objective is to purchase a forgiveness for those who have offended him by their sin. And they place their trust and their confidence in him, and he does that with the forgiveness of our sin. And finally, redemption has a specific standard. At the end of the verse, we see that that standard is according to the riches of his grace. The riches of God's grace. And God's grace is his unmerited, it's his unearned favor toward the repentant sinner. And this is rich, and it's more than abundant to cover the offense against him. The picture here is not one of a weak God who barely gets the job done. The picture here is a God who has an abundant supply of grace that he pours out on everyone who would call upon his Son. So the characteristics of God's redemption activity through Christ on the cross is this, that it has a target, and that target is those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. It has a means, and that means is only the blood of Christ Jesus. It has an objective, and that objective is the forgiveness of sin. It has a standard, and that standard is the riches of his grace. So if you're here today and the testimony of your life bears witness and it demonstrates that you have been redeemed through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, then would you join us in taking the elements today? Ponder the Savior who gave his own blood for you that would redeem you to bring you into unity with God. If you're here today and you have trusted in Christ, but there is ongoing, unrepentant, known sin in your life, I encourage you, I implore you to forsake that sin now and leave that sin and join us as we take the elements together. If you're unwilling to do that, simply take the elements and pass them by. And finally, if you're here today and you've placed your confidence in something other than the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross, you need to understand this, that you're not yet redeemed, you're not yet rescued. You're still in a position of enemy before God, and you're subject to the fury of his wrath against you. But you need to understand this too, that you can be redeemed, and you can be redeemed if you understand and you embrace the one and only means that God has provided to redeem people, that is the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. I'll be available after the service. Any of the other elders would be available as well. Or the person next to you, I encourage you to speak with any of us, and we would be happy to share with you about God's redemptive plan. But for now, simply pass the elements by when they come to you. So the men are going to come and serve us, and we'll take the elements together.